Let's welcome Jim as he comes to bring forth the message.
All right. Good morning, CNBC. How are we doing? Well, it's pretty mixed there. All right, we'll see how you're doing after the sermon. So I was given this theme, God our Guardian. Now, as I did research, which is code for as my mind wandered, I started thinking about the topic, and the next thing I know, I was thinking about Guardians of the Galaxy. Do any of you know what Guardians of the Galaxy is? All right, what is it? It's a Marvel movie. All right. Now, I haven't seen them, but through my extensive research, it's a movie franchise that has superheroes in it. The basic plot is that a group of intergalactic criminals, pull together and they try to stop a fanatical evil warrior who has plans to purge the universe. And these criminals become heroes and they become the Guardians of the Galaxy. Okay? Now, these movies are very popular, especially popular today in times of trouble or strife or helplessness. We all wish, like Hollywood, that we could have a hero, a guardian to protect us. Now, when I was growing up a few years ago, it was Batman, Superman, Spider-Man. For my girls, it was kind of The Flash, The Avengers, Captain America, and of course, the Guardians of the Galaxy. Do you have a favorite superhero I missed? Wonder Woman. What?
Mighty Mouse,
there we go. Anything else?
Green Hornet.
The Green Hornet, there you go. All right. Zorro, there you go, Zorro, all right. For my dad, it was The Shadow. Remember the radio broadcast, The Shadow Knows? Yes, okay. Now I'm really dating my dad. But in real life, we do have a superhero. There is a true guardian of the galaxy, of the universe. And in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, we find out who that guardian of the galaxy is. So let me read it here. Hebrews chapter 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He's the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Jesus Christ is the heir of all things. He created the world. He upholds the universe. Now, a guardian, according to the dictionary, is one who supports, who maintains or affirms, who defends. Jesus Christ is the ultimate guardian of the galaxy. Not only is Jesus Christ the maker, he upholds it, but more importantly, he is your personal guardian. So Lichtes, where are you? I know you're here today. There you are. Oh, they're nervous now. Jesus is your personal guardian, right? The answer would be yes. This is easy. All right. Shums. Is Jesus your personal guardian?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. There we go. Hers. I told you I was going to pick on you. Is Jesus your personal guardian? Yes. Heverins, you knew I was going to pick on you. Yeah. Do you know it's a trend? One from each section, okay? All right. Jesus is your personal guardian.
Yes.
Yes. And I have the whole church directory here. So, let's... Sorry. Okay. But God is our personal guardian. Psalm 46 that was read earlier, God is our refuge and strength. Psalm 121, my help comes from the Lord. Jesus is your guardian. Now, in one of the hymns we sang earlier, A Mighty Fortress is Our God, we sang the word Sabaoth. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. You ask who that may be. Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabaoth, His name, from age to age the same, and He must win the battle. I had to go to a dictionary. I had no idea what that word meant. Do you? A lot of silence. All right. It means the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies of God. So Christ Jesus, it is He, the Lord of the armies of God, from age to age the same, and He must win the battle. We have a superhero, a guardian, who has all the armies of heaven with Him. In 2 Kings chapter 2, we get a glimpse of this. We have Elijah and Elisha, and they're walking down the road. And as they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. And he saw him no more. They got a glimpse of the horses and the chariots of fire. In 2 Kings 6, we again see the army of heaven, and this time it's again Elisha. He says to his servant, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Thank you, Beth, for that depiction. Horses of fire, chariots of fire. A mountain full of the Lord's army. Isaiah 66, for behold, the Lord will come in fire, and His chariots like the whirlwind, to render His anger and fury and His rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire will the Lord enter into judgment, and by His sword with all flesh, and those slain by the Lord shall be many. It is a strong army. It is a frightful army. The Lord our guardian will one day come with this army, in fire and fury. Revelation 19. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire. Do you see a pattern here? Fire. And on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty, and on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And in the last days, this King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the guardian of the galaxy, will come with a sword, with an army, with fire, with fury, and with wrath. Lord Sabaoth, the Lord of the armies of God, will come. That is our guardian. A warrior, he's arrayed in fire, with a sword, and he has all the armies of heaven with him. And while we wait for his return, he is still our guardian. Every day, every hour, every minute. Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Now, this was a psalm that the Jewish pilgrims would read on the journey to Jerusalem. The journey was very long, it was very hard, it was very dangerous. And this psalm was to remind the pilgrims who their guardian was. So when trouble comes, who's your guardian? Who do you look to for solutions or help? Who walks the hard roads of life with you? Who do you trust? Who do you call out to? As Christians, our help comes from the Lord. What is really reassuring is that God is watching over us always. Every minute, every day, he doesn't doze off, he doesn't get distracted. He's all-knowing, all-seeing. It doesn't matter when the problem or situation happens, because God does not slumber. He does not sleep. He is with us all the time. And it's not just physical protection, but also spiritual protection. In Scripture, for instance, when it says, he will not let your he will not let your foot be moved. Okay. It's not just physical falling that the author is talking about. In the four occurrences in the Old Testament, foot slipping is the idea of divine judgment, enemy oppression, or sin overcoming. So when the psalmist declares that God will not let your foot be moved, it's the thought that no one can snatch you out of God's hand. It's the perseverance of the saints. It is the sure confidence we have today that we will remain with God tomorrow. God not only watches over us physically, he watches over our souls. The Lord is our keeper. It's his steadfast love that will sustain us, will carry us. It is well with our soul because of our guardian God. This psalm reminds us, Psalm 121, that God, our help is from God alone. That God watches us continually. He watches us faithfully. He knows where we are and the situations we are in at all times. He will help us persevere, not allowing our foot to slip. Our souls are in good care now and forevermore. God is our faithful guardian. Nothing can happen outside of his plan for us. He is always watching. Now, is there pain? Is there failure? Is there suffering? Yes. But in the midst of all this adversity, God is there. He will not allow your foot to slip. Because he's our guardian God, now and forevermore. Even our death will not stop God from holding us fast. Because his love is forever. I've asked Scott and his daughter to sing a song for us about how God holds us fast. Thank you.
When I fear my faith will fail,
Christ will hold me fast.
When the tempter would prevail,
He will hold me fast.
I could never keep my home.
Life's
He will hold us fast. As our guardian, God is often compared to other strong things that can protect and defend us. He's our rock, our shield, our shelter, our fortress. He's our stronghold, our deliverer. 2 Samuel, when David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul, he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. Psalm 71, in you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Psalm 144, blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. He is my steadfast love and my fortress, my stronghold, my deliverer, my shield. And he is whom I take refuge. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? For he will hide me in the shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. Psalm 84, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And this next verse, many of you have heard me share it with you when I visit you at the hospital. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who take refuge in him. Nahum, chapter 1, verse 7. He knows those who take refuge in him. At least 38 times in Scripture, God is our rock. 26 times, God is our shield. 9 times, God is a shelter from the storm. 27 times, God is a fortress. 6 times, the Lord is our deliverer. God is our guardian. A very present help in a time of trouble. God is our guardian. He will protect us, not just physically, but spiritually. He will hold us fast. And as I said before, God is not just some cosmic defender. He's a very, very personal God. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, when the Scriptures want to convey God's protection and care for us, the guardian type that the authors most frequently use is that of a shepherd guarding his sheep. God is a very personal and tender God. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my guardian. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23 is a very wonderful psalm. But we should note that it comes right after Psalm 22, for those of you who are not math majors. Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? All who see me mock me. Many bulls encompass me. I am poured out like water. My heart is like wax. You laid me in the dust of death, for dogs encompass me. I can count on my bones. They divide my garments. There are no green pastures in Psalm 22. We must personally know the value of the blood shed on the cross which is what Psalm 22 is about, before we can know the sweetness and the goodness of Psalm 23. If we are saved, if we know Jesus, then the Lord is my shepherd. How amazing that the infinite God, the guardian of the galaxy, is the guardian of you and me. That he is a personal savior. He is a personal shepherd. My shepherd cares for me. He watches over me. He preserves me. Not just in this life, but in the life to come. And Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the good guardian. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and come out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd." And the good shepherd, the guardian, lays down his life for the sheep. The shepherd, the guardian, he takes very good care of his sheep. I shall not want. I shall not want in temporal and earthly things. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried, for all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. I shall not want. I shall not want in spiritual things. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? And these good things are the spiritual things. My guardian is with me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. My guardian is with me every step of life, even through death. And we do not need to fear anything in life, for our guardian is with us. Now, in the coming weeks, I stole some of the thunder of someone. I'm not sure who's preaching this. They're going to preach on God our shepherd. And so I'll let them go into more detail about this. But our guardian is a shepherd, and he loves the sheep. God, our guardian, the guardian of the galaxy, the guardian of us personally, the good guardian, the good shepherd, our rock, our shield, our shelter, our fortress, our stronghold, our deliverer, our guardian. You can cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. As the team comes up, I want to read this verse again. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who take refuge in him. Amen. Amen.